So, this morning, compassion of the divine Christ mind. I'm still pulling from Fannie B. James in the sense of the scripture that she would choose for something along this line of topic. As I look deeper into these scriptures, and I think of today's reading and the power of Nona Brooks, the words that came through her in that divine light, and have something said like, every moment I am guided by His wisdom, every moment His love radiates through me to others, every moment His power energizes me, every moment the divine intelligence reveals to me the way of accomplishment. Every moment of today, because I believe in God's presence, I have faith in and I expect good. I trust. And since God is everywhere, every moment of today, I am serene, peaceful, and joyful. So in truth, that is our essence. It is what we can return to. If we're swaying from it, that will always remain. That cannot become less or become more. It just is. And so whatever we experience, we can turn back to this. You know, and in today's readings, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed Him. This goes deeper than just in the physical, where we hear about the healing of such things. But we're talking also about the inner eye. To be touched by the Christ. And that inner eye receives sight, awakens, and we follow the Christ idea, the Christ mind. For we've been touched by that presence. Or if you care or wish to acknowledge from the Holy Spirit, which flows through everything and of course to everyone. And as Jesus moved with compassion, He put forth His hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And again, we have that essence where we are touched by this great presence. And if we're willing to receive it, then yes, we are cleansed. I often thought on the term Holy Spirit. Well, I am spirit. I'm having a human experience. But when I'm in the absolute consciousness, it is holy because the spirit is truly perfect. Or as we're saying here, is the absolute of what is cleansed. It is clean. So if I'm in it, then I'm automatically there. That always remains. And again, it says, moved with compassion. And here's the big part of compassion. Compassion is an energy. It is an expression moving forth in perfect idea of love, of understanding, of peace, of grace, salvation. It is that which has moved even beyond forgiveness, for compassion is already at work in someone who has come forth in a state of forgiveness. So I often have mentioned a few times that in the Tao we have the Tao Te Ching, which actually means the way of non-blaming. And it's in this way of non-blaming that compassion works through us, as grace works through us. We are expressing that grace. We are expressing that peace, that wellness. So compassion is an energy. It is an idea. It is a deeper understanding of God's good works. That I have compassion. That I have understanding. That I am not being judgmental. That I can look to others and understand. Though I may not have experienced their suffering per se, I understand it. And I'm compassionate towards it. Often when I worked in the jail with all the men and women, compassion was filled through me all the time, because what I met in the illusion was a lot of people wearing some very powerful fronts. And they were usually pretty scary and filled with anger and very defensive. And that was not who any of them were. Especially in a jail, you have to wear that mask even more just to be amongst other folks in jail, because they need to protect themselves from one another. So if you stand tough, chances are you won't be picked on as much or abused as often. It's a very primitive way of existing. It is godless, actually. But as I could see them, I just saw children that were hurt, children that were suffering. And it used to floor me. Some of these children were like giants. They were like Goliaths, covered in tattoos. But I remember one man even saying how he apologized for the expression that's on his face, because he always looked mean and like he was ready to tear you apart. He said it's really not how he feels. It's just so ingrained in his face because he's worn it his whole life. But it's not who he is. And I had already sensed this when I'd been talking to him. And then he announced this to everybody in the meeting, to all the other men. And after a while, you begin to not see that costume. You don't see what they're wearing. It just moves beyond that. And that's compassion at work. It's not fear-based. It's love-based. As we look at this other piece of scripture, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Bottom line, if you want to keep it, you have to give it away. And that's part of the process. You have to shout it out. How beautiful this is. You have to let people know that this is what's within us. That this is what's coming out. Because it will not work very well if I'm just storing it away and not sharing it. And when I share it, I share about God's truth. The authority that comes out of us when we're doing this comes simply because it's of God. It's not my authority. It's not really my power. It's something far greater that I am one with, that is at work. It keeps me from falling into the illusion, the self-limited comprehension of life. It is of the absolute. And it has nothing to do with sympathy. Sympathy and compassion have nothing in common. Sympathy is a whole other world, of which I remember a story being told to us. It was actually Eric Butterworth who was telling a story of the difference between compassion and sympathy. And he said, you go up to a mud hole, of which a person's up to their nose in it, and you're putting there, and they're screaming with their hands out, and you go up to it, and you get sure-footed, and you make sure you have your stance strongly situated. You put out your hand. They grab your hand and they start pulling you in. But you don't let go, and they keep pulling you in. And finally, you go into that mud hole with them. And then you're in there with them going, oh, yes, you're right. This is so horrible. It is so disgusting. Oh, how can anyone live like this? This is wretched. That's sympathy. Compassion. You stand sure-footed. You put out your hand to the person who has their hand out. They start to pull you in. You let go. And you tell them, when you're ready to come out, I'll be there for you. But you will not pull me in with you. That is compassion. I'm not going to subject myself to the outer world's trials and tribulations, to its lack, to its illusions, to its erroneous concepts, and share with everyone about how horrible it is. That is the sympathetic understanding. But if I wish to walk in the light and stay strong, I'm not going to participate in such behavior, of which we see it all around us all the time. The person I talk to all the time, on a regular basis, he calls me, lives out in Philadelphia, tells me he wants to come out of here, him and his wife, want to visit here one of these Sundays. He's a wonderful man, does a lot of good work out there. And he had driven out to Washington, D.C., he had made an appointment with Dr. Salazar. And he sat with him for about, again, this is compassion, for about maybe half an hour, because Salazar is not going to sit there and listen to you rant and rave for a couple hours. He'll give you his time. He'll say what needs to be said in the Christ mind, and then the conversation's over. And he felt somewhat taken back by this. And he said, I felt that Dr. Salazar was a very wise man, but he seemed so cold. And I said, there's nothing cold about Dr. Salazar. He said, the words that he shared with you, how does that help? Oh, tremendously. I can't believe everything that was on my mind and I was getting wrapped up in, I'm just freed from. So I said, well, wasn't that why you went to see him? To have that accomplishment? Yes, it was. It was. I said, well, so this, what you're calling cold, was his compassion and his ability to share with you what you needed to hear, and more than that, what you needed to hear and could work and rise up in and let go of what you were struggling with. And then he was like, Craig, you're absolutely right. It's just, it's so different meeting someone like that. And he began on to say, I come from a very strong Italian family. We're all about hugs. We're always hugging each other. He said, he wasn't a very huggable kind of person. I said, in spirit, he's a very huggable person. But in the outer world, one could interpret the way he does his works as cold. But what he's not is, he's not sympathetic. However, he is abundantly compassionate. And this was Jesus' work. Jesus didn't keep coming back trying to rehash things over and over and over. Jesus said what he had to say, and then he said, follow me. In the outer description of all this, we don't see him returning to towns over and over again going, did you get it yet? Oh, you're still doing that? Oh, goodness. Why don't you try it? He just said, follow me. Because after all said and done, we make the final decisions in our life. It's very clearly stated on the front from Irvin Seal, the power is not in the conditions, but in the mood you allow them to produce in your consciousness. So no matter what pearls of wisdom are being shared from anyone, if I'm not going to practice them, that they will be for naught in my life. They'll just be words, sounds. They'll just float around me. I might say, well, that's kind of catchy, or that's kind of nice, but I'm not doing anything with it. The energy and the power of compassion helps us to rise up into a consciousness where these words become part of our being, a part of our practice. And then the realization that we can continue to move forth in this truth. And also, not just move forth, but at times we might be a little better at it than other times. And that's okay. That's just part of living here on Earth. That's part of the human experience. But the more we can let go and live in this truth, the greater. There's a very simple two-word sentence in John 11:35, where it just simply says, Jesus wept. Well, why did he weep? It was not as the way that we might understand. He wept out of compassion, for it hurt him to see the ignorance that flourished throughout men and women. Their decisions to stay in the lack, to live in the darkness. And this is what he wept about. It wasn't of other things that we might get caught up in. It was his compassion. So compassion of the divine Christ mind is, again, of the absolute. And that's why we say, not just compassion, but of the divine Christ mind. In other words, I've risen up into the Christ mind, which in turn allows me to realize my oneship of God mind. Because after all, Christ mind is only the God idea expressing as the human being. And so we call it the Christ. But it's still just God. It is still just the one mind. There is no division, as we might see of a separation. It is all of the oneness. It is part of the motion. It is part of the understanding of the motion at work. And we have this compassion, which is very much a part of creation. It is that which is of the love. And it's that which is of the absolute beauty and understanding. It is the perfection of brotherhood and sisterhood, humanhood. We need not wallow in the lack. For all that we are is of this truth. And the suffering can be healed. The truth will always reveal itself when we're open to it. It can't not reveal itself. It's not capable of not revealing itself, for it just is. And so in this, I look and realize that, yes, my clouds, my snags, my snares, I own them, they're mine. And it's not easy to go through life when you have a world filled with this kind of concept, this kind of belief system that pulls us away from our truth, our true strength, our deep inner strength. And compassion, along with forgiveness. If I have the ability to be forgiving, a forgiving human being, then I will know compassion. I have run into people over the years where I know that they've been through terrible things, and I'll see them judge someone else on and go, how could they not get it? How can they keep doing that? And I sit there and I've said, how can you not have compassion for them? Do you not understand their suffering? Do you not really understand it? Really? But that's where fear kicks in, and anger, and all the other things that are used as a means to get things done. And when we really look at history, that just loops and continues, that fear and that anger. And the problems never leave on this earth. They just keep making manifest, because it looks like a solution, but all it's doing is manifesting the problem over and over again. But in compassion, in this energy, this perfect strength, we come together. We look out for one another. We care about each other. We're able to have an understanding of other people's problems that we may not even understand what their problems are. But we get it. No matter what we experience here on this planet, we're not that far removed from one another. Not at all. So, compassion of the divine Christ mind. If you'll join me in a closing prayer, we allow ourselves to be touched by this truth, for that strength to surge up through us in our entire being. Take that deep breath and know that we are being guided no matter what we're going through. This light will remain. It will help us. It will work with us. For it is the allness of understanding and of grace and of salvation and of love. Let us know this, and let us freely give it to one another. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, Greg. Turn this.